Good morning and welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 19th of February, 2025. The HAT podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Visit to learn more. C.J. Miller checking in with the news today, including the Ted McKinney view of trade and tariffs in the new Trump administration. And Gary Truitt's new podcast dives into the issues with RFK Jr., the new U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary. We have a podcast preview. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says the Indiana farm forecast is quite different from north to south. And grains and oil seeds opened with higher moves yesterday. Arlen Suderman, market analysis coming up on the HAT Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Indiana's Ted McKinney talks Trump, tariffs, and trade, and the many issues several ag leaders have with Robert Kennedy Jr. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today, brought to you by Keystone Cooperative, a proud supporter of the FFA and the many opportunities it provides the next generation of agricultural leaders. Well, you've been hearing a lot lately about the three T's: Trump, tariffs, and trade. One of Indiana's ag leaders who knows a great deal about all three is Ted McKinney. The Tipton County native is CEO of NASDA, the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture. McKinney previously served as USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs during President Trump's first term in the White House.
There is so much yet to be revealed and determined in the current decisions that we're going to have to give the president some time and some and we're going to have to be patient to see how it goes.
He says the main wild card is the U.S. trade and diplomatic situation with both Mexico and Canada.
I think ag has communicated very clearly to the president that these are our best trading partners. There is a flow back and forth sometimes several times on our agricultural goods. And so tariffs can hurt if it's applied too broadly and too permanently. So I'm of the view that we wait and see what happens, because I think he knows the great relationship we have there.
McKinney adds that Trump's trade tactics are all in the name of trying to level the playing field to push for fair trade.
But I think most of ag would be glad that he's looking broadly across the world to find fairness in trade. So maybe we can get Mexico and Canada behind us and then look to China or Europe, where there is absolutely unequivocally unfair trade, and I would just encourage patience across the board until we see what comes clear.
Check out Hoosier Ag Today's full conversation with Ted McKinney at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, Hoosier Ag Today has a new podcast that's out called WTF, What's Threatening Farmers? The podcast is hosted by Hoosier Ag Today founder and chairman Gary Truitt. And on the latest episode, Gary brings up the issues that many within the ag community have with Robert Kennedy Jr. now that he's the new Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Kennedy has stated he wants to overhaul the U.S. food production system. That worries Dr. Kevin Fulta, nationally recognized expert on biotechnology.
He's had horrible ideas about food, horrible ideas about farming, genetically engineered seeds, the use of glyphosate. He's 100% wrong on all of them.
Fulta warns that Kennedy's approach will not be good for farmers or agriculture.
He has made comments against genetically engineered seeds. He's spoken out against seed oils, which we know is a total red herring, that the best studies show that it's not harmful compared to saturated fat, and if anything, has some cardioprotective events with some of the oils.
Volta expects Kennedy to propose legislation that will ban glyphosate in the United States.
He's been railing against this, has been screaming about its connection to human disease, the cancers which have not been borne out by the scientific literature.
Volta adds Kennedy is not the kind of person we need heading HHS when we are in the middle of an avian flu outbreak.
He's going to blame it on the way we do chicken farming and try to pass legislation so everyone has to have a backyard coop.
More with Dr. Volta on the WTF podcast, available at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm Gary Truitt.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a day that is very different if you're in northern parts of the state versus the southern part of the state. We have a massive storm complex that really caused all sorts of problems back in the Central Plains, Kansas, Oklahoma yesterday. Kicked out to the east overnight, moved through southern Missouri, the Boot Hill, and it's currently working its way through parts of Kentucky and Tennessee. But we feel the offshoots of that in the southern part of the state today. Plenty of clouds around this morning through midday from I-70 south, and I won't rule out a few flurries in the extreme southern part of Indiana, maybe even a snow shower or two in southern tier counties in southwest, but it doesn't amount to much. The amount of available moisture is relatively low. The flurries, I think we can just see happen on the northern fringe of this weather system. It is contracting and even dying a little bit as it moves eastward, so I think the clouds decrease through late morning and midday in southern Indiana. Meanwhile, in the north, we're looking at partly sunny skies emerging pretty much everywhere as we're still under Arctic high pressure. I think we finished with a nice sunset here this afternoon, and we are mostly dry for the rest of the week. Now, tomorrow, Thursday, I will tell you there's a decent chance for some lake effect because behind this system that's passing by to our south, we see strong north flow start to come back in for Thursday. That's what's going to trigger the lake effect. More a story in northern Indiana than anywhere else, but I think we can see clouds pop up at will. And then we see the strong core of this Arctic high sitting over the top of us for Friday into Saturday and early Sunday. That means we are chilly. But Sunday, we start to transition to the backside of that, and south flow comes in. That's where we see a significant round of temperature moderation for Monday and for Tuesday of next week. Got a little clipper system that moves through the Great Lakes on Tuesday, but I don't think it impacts Indiana much. If it does, we're talking sprinkles, actual rain. And then we see colder air trying to come together later in the week next week with a weather system coming out of the Central Plains. It can give us rain, maybe ending as some wet snow here for Thursday into Friday. And we follow that up with a cooler weekend. Not brutally cold, but cooler as we get ready to start off the month of March. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn, beans, and wheat all higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. And for that, I turn to Arlen Suderman of StoneX at the end of the Tuesday session. The markets, after a holiday off on Monday for President's Day, go higher. Corn, beans, and wheat higher throughout the day, and some interesting numbers that we achieved. Arlen, let's begin in the corn market where we hit and surpassed the $5 mark on the lead March contract.
Yeah, it's toying with that $5 mark, probing above it. Now the question is, can we establish above it? There is some significant chart resistance at around the 508 area, which it may want to play with. Certainly some impressive strength there. December pushing to new highs for the move as well. Those individual March and December contracts hitting new 8-month highs today. Demand remains strong when you look at marketing year export inspections for corn to date, exceeding the seasonal pace needed to hit USDA's target by a considerable amount. In fact, if we look at it, it is now trading about 163 million bushels above that pace needed to hit USDA's target.
On the flip side, as we look at export inspections, beans and wheat came in below the lowest of the estimates. Those markets nevertheless did work higher, even with additional pressure from a strong dollar index.
Yeah, and I think that's further evidence that a lot of this is money flow, which we've been talking about for some months now, expecting that it would provide some support. But I have to be honest, even though I said it, it's provided more support than what I anticipated. And I think good evidence of that is how we're rapidly harvesting a bumper, shall we say, record large soybean crop in Brazil. Those supplies starting to hit the export market now, but yet we're still able to move higher in soybean prices. And we have questionable domestic demand. Wheat short covering there continues to support it as it also follows the corn market higher.
More data came out Monday, the NOPA crush report, and the December number was pretty good for the crush. January number, not quite there. As a matter of fact, January came in just above the lowest of estimates. Was that a determining factor or a factor of some sort as far as bean market movement?
Well, crush remains strong, I think, largely because we're still finding export markets for the soy oil. Soy meal supplies are more than adequate here in the United States. Soy oil, we're moving, and that's largely because South American supplies haven't hit the market yet and because palm oil prices have been rising, increasing demand for soy oil. Meanwhile, biomass diesel production here in the United States is down about 40%, we estimate, since the first of the year when the $1 tax credit expired under the Inflation Reduction Act, and the 45Z guidelines that were supposed to replace it have not been issued yet. All we have is talking points or guidance at this point. And so fuel producers are shutting down a lot of production. We think that'll start catching up with us if we don't soon get that guidance over the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Arlen Suderman with us, Stone X. And as we look at world events, was there much of an influence on the grains and oil seeds as we opened up on Tuesday, or did it really strictly come down to money flow?
I think it was mostly money flow and domestic. Strong export demand for corn continuing to help support the corn market. Soybeans and wheat following. Wheat getting some support from bitter cold temperatures across the winter wheat belt here as well as in Russia.
And the livestock markets, first live cattle futures, relatively quiet and mixed, and some gains in the hog market. What do you see there?
Well, as we look at that cattle market, very interesting to see what happened last week with slaughter, dropping to 561,000 head, very low end of the estimate, down from 608,000 a year ago. And this week's pace has continued to be slow as well, starting to stabilize the product market. Packers trying to improve those compressed margins. But overall, we're getting underlying support in this market from the bitter cold temperatures. That should take off some of the excess weight of backing up the chains on the slaughter of cattle. Moving over to hogs, that I think is a primary support factor is there. Even though most of our hog production is confined, it's hard to keep these houses warm in these type of temperatures. That starts to impact production, and also starts to impact the ability to transport the hogs to market.
Commentary from Arlen Suderman of Stone X and StoneX.com. On the hat Tuesday, farm market review, 5 3/4 higher on the March corn contract. It goes to 502. May 5 15 3/4 up 7, and July 5 18 1/2 up 7 1/4. Strong day in corn. March beans up 2 1/2, 10 38 1/2. May goes to 10 55 1/2 up 2 3/4. July up 3 1/4, 10 71 1/2. March wheat, 6 04 3/4, up almost a nickel, 4 3/4 higher. Meats mixed. April live cattle, 194.02, down 22. April lean hogs, 93.20, up 60. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.